Okay, we're up and ready.
All the buttons are being pressed. Touch.
Dan? Is Dan there?
Dan is here.
Dan is here.
I was wondering, I would like, Dan, if you could take over reading the log.
I can, yes.
And then I could be... Harry and I can be your assistant if you ever need help. I think it'd be easier for me to come to class but not read the log for now.
Taken, done, handled. You got it.
Perfect.
So,
thank you.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, everyone, and you too.
And me too. And it's Wednesday night. It's 7 o'clock. And it's another roller coaster ride on the American Book of the Dead by E.J. Gold. So, you know, we've been doing this now for...
40 weeks, it says.
40 weeks? Can't be.
40 weeks, it says.
40 weeks, no fair.
It only took 40 days in Exodus. Oh, 40
days, 40 weeks, we've been doing it, and we've made it all the way to chapter, I guess they're not called chapters, are they?
No, we usually refer to them as a chamber.
A chamber, that's what it is. So we're on chamber 28, and we didn't actually go to 29, so when we spent the entire time last time on 28, and we're not off of it. And part of it has to do with Pat.
And I don't recall any of this, but I'm happy he's telling me about
it. Yeah, I figured that was the case. That's why I had to document it.
Yes, please.
I documented it in other places, and I've got my notes when it comes to trial. And
that'll all be just fine.
It will be. That's right.
Whatever unfolds.
So, now let's... Why don't we just do a quick reading of 28?
Please.
Dan, would you hand the phone to the individual behind you? Are you there? No, you.
That individual.
Mitch? Okay. And why don't you get us started and then hand the phone to your cohort in crime there, and he'll read the rest of it. Okay? 28. So wait. Just make sure everybody's here. Make sure everybody got here. You came in from the cold, you dust off your snow boots, and you got in front of the fire, and the fire's burning brightly. Because the story is going to unfold, and you're going to be part of that story, actually. So let's see what happens. Now, Miss?
28th Chamber. If I'm still in the process of degenerative rebirth, I've obviously allowed myself to become confused by all the shadow show going on around me, afraid and overwhelmed by it all. If I give up now and fall asleep, I'll be carried downward out of any chance of liberation in the macro-dimensional domain. But beyond this point, I won't be able to obtain spontaneous liberation just by pure recognition, because I'll be too buffered for recognition to have the same power to liberate me.
If I can't handle it here, I'll just remember the beloved's form and visage as that of a pleasant and safe being who wants to help me get free of this. I'll tell my real name and thus be liberated. Now I am going to be tossed around between states of joy and sadness, alternating in each moment. I won't get caught by trying to resist with aggression, and I won't give in to blissful sleep through passion.
Thank you. So this is the chamber that we covered in depth. Last week, we spent quite a bit of time on it, and yet we read it again, and doesn't it have a different sheen to it? Doesn't it just have a different musical note that comes through and a different odor? About a third of the way through it, just after you started, I literally, I had a olfactory hit. And it's a very interesting thing about a particular kind of voyaging, that there'll be many characteristics that will surprise you. Allow yourself to be surprised as you get into these various spaces, because we're still learning the characteristics of the spaces. And if we allow ourselves to be surprised in different ways by a tonality of light, timbre of a smell, we'll learn a great deal about where we are. And one of the two things, Pat, that you had brought up, so we built up a lot of energy by the end of last class, and Pat says, we're not done. And there were two points that I got from her discussion toward the end of it that I wanted to emphasize, because it's very important for me. And the two points are going to be...
we're going to hold the two points.
Yes, we are.
Because the first thing that I'm going to offer before we hold the two points is for each person who's sitting with the book to speak to themselves the words of the chamber in a particular manner. And you can do it to yourself quietly, but I want you to have this take before David offers what he's going to offer next.
Okay.
So if you will use only the word that is the subjective or the personal, so you say the word I'm, you do not worry about anything that is a descriptive, if or still. So I'm in rebirth is the phrasing that you want to have. Just read that to yourself now so that you have the actual inner location.
Do you want to guide us through that reading?
I'm in rebirth. Afraid. I give up, fall asleep. I won't attain. I have power. I remember being. I tell. I get tossed. And I'm going to leave the final one for you to do in whatever manner that you choose. That was my short form for me.
one of the, as we complete that cycle, want to point something out that's important to note as the as something to look for in yourself. Pat gave, at the end of last class, she gave me two specific elements that I recognize as being critical and important to this chamber that made all the sense in the world to emphasize again. Pat began the class tonight and she says, I don't remember what they are. And yet her vocalization of the guidance she gave us in reading this first part of the chamber was precisely on point with where she left off in her thought pattern, in her sensing about this particular chamber. That is a Bardo skill, is finding your way back to where you were. That again, it's a Bardo skill to be able to find your way back to where you were. It's something to practice and get better at. So I'm going to open up topic one.
Thank you.
All right? So topic one, if we look at the beginning of, of this particular chamber, topic one is telling us something that says, if I am in, right? So the voyager is looking around and says, oh, if I'm in this place, therefore this is happening. Now here's the curious thing about it. Here's the thing that's very interesting. This is a map. It is a point on a map. And we say to ourselves, we can't understand that because we are linear thinkers, and the chances of us decoupling from the human biological methodology of looking at things is very difficult. But we have a chance right here to literally, in a fundamentally different way, read the map in a different manner. And I know people, there's a few people in this room right now that read the map in that manner, and it's superior to the way they read other maps, that one might read it. And you can say, well, no, you're right here. And they go, no, I'm not. I'm right here. And so we're going to take the opportunity that is offered to us in 28 and emphasize this concept of map orientation. And is it possible for us to develop these skills?
Totally.
Now, who was it that said something to me? Oh, is Vidad Flowers, do I have it right?
Yeah, he's on.
Is he on? Okay. Do you recall, I think I sent you an email earlier in the day, and I emphasized something that you had said last week. Do you remember what that is? Could you type that into the log if you remember? It was perfect. She remembers because she's oriented. Okay? There's a, when you have a form of orientation, and map, working with compasses, like if you're a Boy Scout or something like that, it's called orienting classes. They don't call it map reading or compass reading. It's orienting. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to orient, but from a different fundamental pair of shoes. And all I'm trying to say is that we do have that space. We do have that.
Everybody has a magnetic north. And everybody has a compass, although most of us have not developed our compass skills, or we have a broken compass. That's a metaphor, and a lot of fourth wave text gives that reference.
And so we're combining, we're bringing our resources together as a group, emphasize as a group, because we're going to get into something else about that in a minute. But as a group, we're bringing our resources together and we're saying, you know what, I think my compass is a little broken. Okay, because if you say it in the group, you give it away, baby. You give it away and something else comes to you. Go ahead.
So Vidad Flowers says, like luck, journey favors the prepared voyager. Good example of habits carrying you through.
A prepared voyager?
Mm-hmm.
What does this guy mean? What's he talking about? A prepared voyager.
Okay.
Okay, taker.
Example. Like 35 minutes ago, I'm looking in the mirror going, okay, like the face that sits and does the all-day thing and the cooking and the cleaning and the laundry, that's not the face that goes on the screen here. So fix the face. And I'm doing the thing, you know, with the fixing of the face and all this stuff, and I go, oh, right. There's that opportunity. Remember where you are. You're looking in a mirror. What is it you see? What is it you're doing? I go, oh, right. Yeah, everything's supposed to remind me. Snap, snap, snap. That's the preparation. It's the reminding factor in any place you can put it. And then you pay attention to the reminder. And then you got to ask yourself, Remind me of
what? And we have to develop, you've heard me use this phrase 100 times over the last few years, ways and means. And ways and means are absolutely unique to you as an individual. Now, Marvette, I don't know if you guys read... where did you post that again? What's it called?
Prosperity Path.
That's Prosperity Path Forum. She posted a tome of something or another.
Yes.
But in it, she had a discussion of the pack of green is what developed out of it, and group work and this sort of thing. And we're in group work right now, right?
Oh, absolutely.
We're in group work. We can feel the group, we can see the group online and the responsiveness of the group. And it reminded me of something when I was reading this, it was actually yesterday, and I happened to be watching the performance of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony online on YouTube. And Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, I love it, but then toward the end of it, it has a remarkable choral element that comes in. It's just one of the heights of operatic expression. And it has four soloists. And behind the soloists are, I don't know, 40?
At least.
A choir of this huge bank of singers. And the camera scans over it, pans
mm-hmm.
across. And here's all these singers, this one's holding this, and they're singing on when they're supposed to sing, and it goes to the next guy and this woman, and back and forth. Right, and that's the chorus. But each one of them, to be admitted to that chorus, went through a solo interview with the choral master. Is that correct?
Always, at least.
Always.
At least.
And they're being tested as a solo player. Though the expression within that symphony is an expression as a group, a choral group,
mm-hmm.
powerful sound of music. and the wall of music. But each one, as prepared as they are in the group, goes through it alone. Yeah?
They go through it alone, and if they're, as you described, very fortunate to be participating in something in the nature of a Beethoven's Ninth, they're actually transformed into something that is not each one alone. And that, you know, that can be described in various ways, but the opportunity for, I'm not going to use the word incarnate, I'm going to use the word metamorphize to
yeah,
a little,
that's good,
little stronger, tighter unity with the configuration over self. That's all it is. It's a slight percentage more into group and less into self, less into solo. It has to be both. You have to be full on your own, but there has to be a little bit more also. That's
synergy.
Yeah, there's a couple of words.
A synergy results.
Yeah.
Results
from
that kind
from that metamorphosis. Mm. But it's an opportunity. It's not a given. Just because we have a group of individuals collected around a stated shared purpose does not mean that that occurs.
So practice. We have an opportunity to practice in a group here, and we can get markers from each other. And so fundamentally, my question, when you are in this particular part of the bardo, and you're orienting in this whole different way, what is the nature of the marker that you will be utilizing? What is the nature of it? Was that you stirring there, Silverdale?
No, David, no.
We have a taker here.
I don't know if this is the nature, but as you said, this is going to be particular for each one of us, even though it's a categorical chamber, let's say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Archetypally, we could be in the same chamber, but the faces may look different. But the end of this, to Arcturus, where the character has arrived at Arcturus. First entity, the first being that he's confronted with there is very seductive. She takes him immediately on some kind of dragon, like a strange creature, a flying creature, and he has to hide his belly, all very fleshy, and then they arrive at somewhere way up in the distance. If I recall, the attitude there is that he actually modeling the kind of, he's aware of the seductiveness, like he registers it, but he remains detached. And that character in the novel, the response of that very seductive female, surprised that she hasn't been able to entirely seduce him. And then she shows him a kind of respect for that. And then of course, immediately the next frame is where she gets taken out by the aggression of another character. And what I'm saying in the chamber is, I won't get caught by trying to resist with aggression, and I won't give in to blissful sleep.
Well said.
And both of those, I just recall both of those elements. These are like the first obstacles that Voyager has to pass through on the way to the second sun, you know, on the way to the like if he couldn't pass the very first barriers, he could have either been dashed to death by the seductive woman or forced by the second. introduced in another way by the second one, who she actually hypnotizes the first woman to walk out off the edge of the cliff.
Yeah, very good, and it's a great example, because what we want to do is put ourselves in a position where we can test our fluidity in coming back to our marker points. Is this making sense? Okay?
Yeah, you're referencing things in a really easy manner, and everybody will have their own vocabulary for this.
Yeah.
And they'll have their own images, like Ivan's just described his. And the thing to do with this kind of endeavor, if you can, is take it a little bit further, like I suggested earlier, that you read each sentence for yourself in the manner in which it only describes the I and what the action is. And that's it. The descriptive all gets put aside. And then the next thing you want to do with this, in line of what David is suggesting here, is you want to learn your lasso. You want to learn in what way are you able to actually collect yourself in the space that you're at because of the data that you're getting. And it's not data in the sense of facts and figures. It's data in the sense that your Voyager orientation has clued you in. And what you need to observe is, what does that orientation consist of for me? How does it work? How do I know? And the statement here in the first paragraph says, allowing myself to become confused by all the shadow show going on around me, afraid and overwhelmed by it all. So that's an option, because the sentence started with
Yes.
It's a choice. It's a choice. And the choice here is to put yourself, place yourself, orient yourself as fully as possible in your perceptiveness. How does it look to you at this moment? What do you see? How does it appear? Because that perceptiveness, that's what you're operating off of. That's what you need to know about. Not how it's written. It's how it's written on the inside.
And that's the whole thing. It's interiority rather than external. So,
yeah.
And it's not... You know, do you have good emotions or not? It's not that. It's, are you oriented from within? Where are your eyes? If they're here, it's one thing, but if they're here in your chest, in your sensing mechanism, it's different.
Very different.
It's very different. Walk with different eyes. Walk with different eyes and you will see a new world. You'll see a brave new world, a fresh world. And before him in the Tempest.
Shakespeare.
That's right. That's in the Tempest.
Yeah, in the Tempest.
We have a brave new
you
world.
You have common
sense. So go ahead, Dan.
Wonderful. Good.
Rocky says, in military tracking and stuff, they use triangulating. Seems there might be three markers: where we are, where we were last, orienting to where we were, and where we are aiming at. Just a thought. And then Rocky says, this happened to me. After illness, I was afraid, confused, and overwhelmed. The marker was falling into sleep. I had a yearning to regain what I had lost and came back.
So... let's talk about the yearning is an example of a marker.
Very, very, very strong marker.
Okay. So there's yearning with a small y, and then there's yearning with a big Y. And isn't there, don't we have something called the prayer absolute?
Somewhere? We do.
And what's the fifth line? Anybody remember?
Yes. No, that's
your name. It's always my presence, and it's always be. Okay. In your name, my presence. What does that mean? What does that guy mean when he says that? With your name, I want to comfort thee. Is that like your puppy? Your kitty? It's involuntary. We get from Molly Midway.
I think it's
boom.
But it's also knowing something. It's
which is going to
knowing something, that something is there, although you're not presently contemplating.
You know it's there.
You're not.
For me, the yearning is an integration with the thinking, feeling, and doing.
It's our yearning to go back home, which is always presenting itself to us. Now, Silverdale.
You know, as I'm following this, I think back to what the primary characteristics of our central self is, which is the experience of light and infinite extension, a particle of the absolute. And we sense, feel, and perceive something Gurdjieff calls sensation of self in that vibratory state. And
yeah.
And it's when we experience the deterioration of that state into the shadows of the senses of a lower dimension, the human primate dimension, that we're reminded that that's not what we want to identify with. We want to identify with what we really are.
What we really are, we want to identify with that particle of the absolute that happens to be right here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That is.
Go ahead. You're up.
Harry Lundell says, buffeting, being tossed between joy and sadness, seems to be my marker. I won't try aggression. I won't try aggression. I won't sleep. I won't be attracted or repelled.
So that's, if you've done sailing, if you've sailed, what he's saying is so bang on. You tack your way through the wind in an appropriate manner. You don't give in to it. You continue to work. Is it hard? Yes, it's hard. Is it hard? More hard? Yeah, it's more hard. And more hard and higher. And yet that's what you're doing. That's what's up. So this part of this chamber, the concept is to read the map. You read the map and it'll tell you where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as it tells you where you are,
you have work to do.
You have work to do, but it also gives you a hint
mm-hmm.
as to what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our part two.
Yes. Our part two is paragraph two. If I can't handle it here, I'll just remember. So we have clue one for anyone who ever comes to work on themselves or belong to a path. The remembrance is that which causes you to yearn. That is that little tiny piece that is still flickering in there, and it keeps drawing you and drawing you. I'll remember the beloved's form and visage as a pleasant and safe being.
Let's bust that sentence up a little bit more.
Yes, please.
So go ahead, read the sentence. So take it in parts.
If I can't handle it here.
So once again, you're noticing an attribute of the Voyager at that time.
And another aspect of this is in the 60s and 70s, we had the CBs in our cars and in our trucks. And if you traveled long distance across this continent and you were asked, what is your handle? It meant, how can you be called? What is your call sign? What is your handle? So if I can't handle it here, for me, was a recognition that it is me calling to me here in this moment.
Correct. That's exactly how that works. So what is your handle would be something like, you read something about somebody that was saying they were buffeted back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the term you used? You use what term?
Harry Lundell.
He said the word Harry Lundell. In another form, it's Tianjo.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Whom do you call forth then?
Right.
Where do you stand? Okay.
David, when I figure out how to edit this thing, I will change it back to Tianjo.
It's perfectly wonderful for tonight's example because it's a process of, is it the naming of or the calling forth of, or is it the next part of the sentence which says, I'll just remember, because now we drop the identification, the naming, the coverage, however it was that we were proceeding, which didn't work, and now I'll just remember the beloved form and visage. Oh, that implies totally that you already know the beloved's form and visage.
That you're able to do that.
Yes. It's something that you have in your hip pocket.
Let me...
That was... when you said the word remembrance, what triggers for me, it's that if you have a beloved, it is easy to remember the beloved. It is easy to rest your consciousness in the memory and being of the beloved, and it's somehow also the secret of prayer.
It is the secret of prayer. So if you're being buffeted and you can't handle it here, then it just says, what does it say again?
I just remember.
So that means it's online for you, right? And that's the tool. Oh, I'll just remember. Let me ask personal question. Do you believe that you can just remember the face of the beloved? You're in a unique space right now, so you have a very interesting ability to answer, and Molly's shaking her head yes.
Yes.
Susan speaks up with clarity and says, yes. So, is that a marker for you? Can you find the beloved?
Yes, although it's not a visual marker.
Precisely, it's not a visual marker. If it is a visual marker, if it must be a visual marker, it'll get in the way of you being able to say yes.
Combined with the vibrational signatures that you're always talking about, you know, the one that Silverdale's always talking about, me, the marker is I remember myself as a voyager. I would have to work at this practice.
Sounds like you got a good starting point,
well,
though.
Yeah, for me to recall the nostalgia, mm-hmm. the yearning, is for the memory that I have. I remember myself.
Kind of wake up and go, oh, I remember myself as the voyager.
Yeah. And then I have the visual to recall the things that arrive with that.
I'm going to mucky this up a little bit. So, close to 40 years ago, Rashad Field spent a period of time with the Vancouver Study Group working with us in the mornings at 6 a.m. In that form called Zikr, which is the Sufi. And we held a formal ball in our study house, which was called the Zawiya, another Sufi thing. And he was standing with us in a group of four or five of us there. And just Google Rashad Field if you don't have this reference. It's kind of not particularly urgent. But we were standing in this small group in the formal ball, dressed with music and tea and blah, blah, blah. What is it that you really know? What is it you can really do? What is it that is true for you at this moment? And somebody dropped something or something fell, and I reached over and he said, for her, pointing at me, for her, she'll always be seeing what is it that needs to be helped. That's in her nature. And my recollection of his stating that in that group, for me, is the face of the beloved because it was manifest. And so that's how I understand this, is what was manifest in the usable form. The usable form for me. And I think it comes in all versions, like sensing and all of this, but Just to knock it into different orientations. It's not specifically anything. That's the difference. It's not qualitatively anything. It's just that something. And it says very specifically here, you remember the beloved as that of a pleasant and safe being. So descriptively, your remembrance of the beloved is defined by your response, how you have made that a pleasant and safe being who wants to help me get free of this. There's so much impact in this sentence. We could spend at least a year here on this.
And the reason we can is because it's such a hopeful sentence to me.
It's beautiful.
It has so much. It says, you will.
Yeah.
You will, which means you got the tool belt and it's filled up. The tool belt is filled up and it just says, when this and this and this happen, oh, then you're going to go and you're going to get the hammer out,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it is. In this case, it's the face of the beloved. So practice this. During the next week, practice calling forth the face of the beloved. And what is the beginning of this again? It says, or the beginning of that particular paragraph.
If I can't handle it here.
If I can't handle it here, how many of those do you go through today? Some, a few people are raising their hand and smiling a little bit.
Oh, and again.
And so at that moment, what a great opportunity, right?
Exactly.
I can handle it here.
Exactly.
Boom. Therefore, I will envision the face of the beloved because I'm able to do that. I'm able to do it. Why? because we're what did George say? A spark of the absolute, a
particle
of the absolute. What a way to put it, you know?
Particle of divinity.
We're a particle of divinity,
yeah.
And that was our birthright. That's our birthright. And all this work is to say, do you want to make it manifest? Because your fellow voyagers sitting there and need a helping hand, and they need to be reminded that they are also a particle of divinity. And so if you stand in that place with two shoes and you put your staff in the ground and you say, that's where I will stand, that's how you...
That's your orientation. Now you know where you are. Now you have the next thing. Are we ready for the next thing? Or do we have to go further?
Hang on. Let's see where we are with this.
Okay. Rocky says, it's a deep feeling of being loved, but I have no image for this.
Attempt to not have image. Attempt to restrain when the image comes. Attempt to just pause off the image. Just back off. And the sensation of it, Rocky, is getting it really nice. Good.
Simon Templar says, I don't think you do need necessarily a face, Rocky, but certainly a reference or recognition of what it means for you.
So this is the heart of where we're going here. I think this is it's a heart of what this book is all about, and the opportunity that the American Book of the Dead by E.J. Gold gave us is we can begin to create markers, because it appears that we're alive right now. We're not in that particular part of the bardo, and that being the case, we have an opportunity to practice. Like Vidad Flower said to us, perfect practice, or whatever, it was perfect phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now that you brought up markers, I just like to give you the opportunity to repeat that this, what we're holding in our hands, this, the red book, as EJ says in the bardo, the Book of the Dead itself, even without opening it, is a marker. I just had the experience of this, of being at the sharing a little piece of the stand with dozens of books being exhibited that I had on the shelf, with a couple of translations to Spanish, I think. And I had an experience which I wasn't expecting it, but I should have known because it happened. It just happens periodically. One day out of four there, I had three different people came just like a magnet. They just came right to this, to the red book on the shelf, and they said literally, what is that? You know, what is that? What is that book? What is this?
What is
and
that?
And it was basically the wake-up call to me. It's like, okay, now guess what? I had the opportunity. I don't feel like I was able to reveal my true name, but this is exactly what it's like. Because the moment okay, those are the fragments, you know, those are the broken shards of the broken vessel in Kabbalah. It's those sparks that somebody's talking about. And, you know, and when that happens to you, then the response rises, like, oh, you know, well, this is the book of the dead. This is the book of readings that you do for somebody. And, I mean, I had, one day I had two different people. They were both non-English speakers, but they were fluent. You know, there was a Russian person speaking English and a German person speaking English. And so
Ivan is a...
It's a reminding factor for me, but it's also a marker in the sense that, see, it's telling me that I was at the right corner, the right stand, the right aisle. And so
Ivan... that came up looking for a book they did. Now, Ivan is also an experienced voyager in this regard. So he was ready. In a certain way, he was ready.
Practiced.
He's like a cat, ready. And then these two people came, and he was prepared to offer.
In a certain way, I was like, I didn't feel prepared like the guy in Hitchhiker's Guide with the owl. It's as if I didn't expect it. I wasn't so ready for it. But it was like a reflex. You know, it's like a reflex. Like,
here's
oh,
my
yeah.
Towel.
They asked me, what is that? And I say, oh, yeah, well, that's just the book of readings that you do for somebody who's prepared for dying and so on. But and they, actually, one of these I didn't even know where it came out of the blue. She just said, oh, that's so grounded. You know, that's so straightforward and simple what you're talking about. She was like, it's like I wasn't even going there. She was basically saying, like, like she was right there with, oh, that's really nitty gritty what you're talking about. You should probably read this book.
So what happened is this person came up and then Ivan responded. He was able to respond. And that's the skill set. And as we develop our Voyager skill sets, we're able to harvest the elements that are going on around us in a manner that Ivan did. That lady went away with a marker.
She gave her business card, probably email, and hold the book.
Now we're talking about a transaction here.
Yeah.
And a transaction has to have a marker. That's what EJ used to say that truffles were. The truffles were just the recognition that an encounter had taken place.
It's the souvenir.
And when you have the transaction with another being in a voyage, and they go, oh, I am someplace. Oh, there is someone there. Oh, I see. It's always a big surprise, and it's a lovely thing that you have this or whatever that's representative of that. And then you can reference it also externally. That's what this is. It's multiple. It's the external and the internal at the same time. It also is, by the way, if I can add one more metaphor in here, this is a ladder.
Yeah.
Because it allows you to transform your operating status from the one which goes, now I am experiencing the
that's all
clear light. Clear light? Wow. Clear light. Okay. Let's get that going. You know, it's a ladder. It's a momentum thing also. We won't get into that. Who did it?
Busy.
Okay. The other thing I remember EJ saying was that the book existed in all of the dimensions.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think as he says, the red book. So, you know, you find yourself awakening in a strange chamber, let's say, in an unexpected or unusual chamber. You look around and look for the red book.
Well,
she's
saying it's comforting
because
if you're existing in hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couple of comments. Go ahead. Okay.
Thank you, Tamara. That was excellent.
Simon Templar says, and I think he said this just before Ivan mentioned it, perhaps the sense of, oh, I just remembered myself as a voyager is the key. That is the shock alarm clock to bring out front this beloved from what David described. And then Harry says, if our mission is the reintegration of all the sparks of divinity, then we must see them in everyone, and then their inclusion joins me as well. Some Christian writers call this the atonement.
atonement.
Or the at-one-ment. But yeah, I think it's interesting. It's always interesting to me to find that sort of like in the chaos, you know, like in the machine, basically you're in a machine life and a machine reality. And then these it's like if I'm there, if I'm carrying this book or exhibiting this book, it's like two or three gatherings. And these the other people who are carrying this book show up, and then that's a really
they show up.
Yeah, because when you, the two or three of you get together, then something, I'm not even sure what it looks like.
Right.
Or whatever, but it's like something, then we have something happening among two or three of us.
Where two or three, I think it's where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I, in the midst of them.
That's what, you know, my experience with that is, I often thought of my, a lot of my study circle experiences were of that nature. It's like you were maybe bumbling around without very much knowledge. Where we got together and had the intention of doing something, waking each other to be alarm clocks. Consciousness. Sometimes that did happen.
So, using a map with a different set of eyes and having markers to recognize, I will remember the face of the beloved. Those are the tools that were given in this particular chamber, and we're going to kind of need those as we go on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we're going to need our map skills. So let's hold on to those. And it becomes more and more evident, so maybe as I get more and more clear, it becomes more evident to me that these are practice cycles. These are practice cycles that we can do throughout the day to drive home this idea of where am I on the map?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I? Oh, I can't handle it here. Therefore,
mm-hmm.
I've got a place to go. Kind of cool and groovy, huh?
Yeah, if it becomes the intentional default, when you notice that you're not handling it, that the default is, I remember myself as a voyager, or whatever other formulation you have created, that's your default for any moment when you're not here. What's the remedy called? The remedy is called the thing which will.
The what?
Handle the symptoms. The homeopathic remedy handles all the symptoms. And this homeopathic remedy is called remember the beloved as that of a pleasant and safe being who wants to help me get free of this.
So if, as you develop your map reading skill sets, report those.
Mm-hmm.
How did it go? Did you notice yourself looking from a different set of eyes to know where you are? Very interesting to begin developing that. The world opens up in a way that's just fresh and new. It really is.
Will we touch in this next little sentence here for just a small little bit?
Go for it.
I'll tell my real name and thus be liberated. The statement says, in the affirmation, I will tell my real name and thus be liberated. It's not an if-then. It's not a when. it says, I'll tell my real name and thus be liberated. So it's a sentence that sticks in the middle of the paragraph that gives us the tools for orienting ourselves and saying how we can know where we are and how to recognize where we are. And it's extremely different than what was said in the previous paragraph, that you cannot attain spontaneous liberation just by pure recognition. So this is an action that you have to take. It's not just getting it, I get it, this is where I am, and that was enough. If you recognize where you are, then you are instantaneously liberated. That's not enough anymore. At this stage, you must take an action. You must will something. I'll tell my real name. That's a change.
These are very skilled Bardo traits that we develop as we go on. But they are available to us, and you can begin to develop them now. Because we're reading the darn thing. So it says you can do it.
And it also says that in doing it, something else takes place. And that's that last sentence.
Go ahead.
Now, going to be tossed around between states, joy and sadness alternating in each moment.
So it doesn't say I might be.
No.
Once again, the Voyager has recognized where they are on the map. And they go, oh, wait a minute. Now. Go ahead.
I'm going to be tossed around between states of joy and sadness, alternating in each moment. So there's three implications there. One is moment, there's the sense of time or an event which was obliterated just a little while ago. There was no time. It was all the same. It was forever. There are states of specific joy and sadness, and I am tossed. It doesn't say that I am experiencing. It says I'm tossed around between. So my idea about this, which may seem a little far-fetched, but if you have just been liberated, you're not grounded. You've been cut loose. So the states that are around you of joy and sadness alternating in each moment are not the ones that you're identified with. You're not.
You're tossed about.
Been liberated, right. Yes. So it's another aspect of the being cut loose, being cut free, not taking on an identification. Yes. Go. Go. Take them. Microphone and speak. Yeah.
So you're liberated, and the chaos is happening around you, and then it goes on to say, I won't get caught by trying to resist. You know, so if you had that fluidity, you stay in that liberated state.
So those are the street signs. The street signs are there.
Big markers.
Big giant markers. Big street signs that says, oh, I'm not going to get caught.
Oh.
So watch for the signs, and you're told what the signs are because you're orienting yourself in this space. Okay? How are we doing? Anything else?
On the phone.
How you doing, everybody? Susan, how you doing over there?
I'm doing okay.
Oh, all right.
Yay! Yay! Just quiet, but absorbing the vibration.
So, the tenor of things, once again, is going to change. Next week, we're going to get into these next several chambers, but we're ready.
Yeah, I so appreciate this because it feels to me like we've got our boots on, we've gotten our feet wet, we have a little bit of the feel of the landscape. You know, we've kind of got our bearings a little bit. We've taken a sighting. I can't remember what that's called when you're on the boat and you use the stars and you
astrolab. Yeah.
You have your you take a sighting, right, with the sextant and all that. So this is what we have done here. We've given ourselves a good dip into where we can be, how we can be here, and how we can look at it.
And we really did need
very grateful
both weeks, I think, to
thank you
bring this back home. So
yeah,
thank you for that suggestion. Okay.
So glad I made it.
And me
I
too.
Completely forgot about it.
Yeah.
So thank you all for coming this evening. It's we'll meet again next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Looking forward to seeing you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night,
thank
everybody.
You.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks.
Good night.
Good
night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, everyone.
There is.